Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you live statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And now we're going to go down to Arizona. This is unbelievable. An audio surfaced from last March. Conversation between Carrie Lake, who's running for as a Republican for the Senate down there against Kyrsten Sinema, and Ruben Gallego, our Democrat. Kyrsten Sinema, an independent now, used to be a Democrat, votes for the Democrats some of the time, but not on our major things, like, for instance, voting rights would be a nice one for her to start voting on. But in any event, Carrie Lake is on this conversation with Jeff DeWitt. Well, who's Jeff DeWitt? Jeff DeWitt is the Republican Party chairman in Arizona. And Jeff DeWitt says to her, and this is amazing, says to her, and I'm going to read this here, name your price to stay out of politics for 2 years. Name your price. I mean, you know, that's a felony. That is a felony. But not only is that a felony, you know, the people in this business who do that kind of stuff, there was a crooked governor, a Democrat, sadly, from Louisiana about 30 years ago. And what he used to do was he assumed everybody was wired. And so if he wanted to do something crooked, he'd write something on a piece of paper, hold it up, and then throw it in the fireplace. So you didn't have a trail on the guy. He finally got caught and sent to prison. He should have. But here's the deal. How bald is that? How bald is that? Name your price to stay out of politics for 2 years. But the other thing that he said, and I think there's got to be a grand jury investigation of this down there to Carrie Lake. The other thing that he said was this. He said, there are, quote, there are very powerful people who want to keep you out, end quote. Well, who would that be? What guy running for president would not want Arizona screwed up again the way she screwed it up the last time, and Biden eked out, what, a 10, 20,000 vote win in Arizona because Carrie Lake was running, shooting her mouth off? You got to know something about Carrie Lake. She's very much a cheerleader, sort of a fangirl for people like Trump and DeSantis and the rest of them. And when they would come to Arizona, you would think, okay, if you're going to introduce somebody, you go, this is the great governor of Florida. This is a great former president, even though you'd gag to say that. But, you know, all right, so she says it. That isn't what she says. She says that Trump, for instance, has big D energy. And D is a word that rhymes with stick and begins with D. Big D energy. She says this stuff. She's an attractive woman. She was an anchor for a big Phoenix TV station, very smooth and very flirtatious. And this is what she says. She's running now for the Senate. And everybody is nervous because you have three candidates. Carrie Lake, say a Republican. She was running as Republican. You have Ruben Gallego, our guy, former Marine in combat. He is a congressman. He's an excellent guy. I think one of his parents is from Mexico, and the other one I think is from Venezuela. He was born in the United States, served in the Marine Corps, put it on the line. And then you have Kyrsten Sinema. So who wins? Well, the Republicans obviously didn't want Carrie Lake in there. They are very, very afraid that there'll be a nasty spillover on the presidential race. But I'm going to call this out right now. If you have a tape recording of the state chairman of the Republican Party saying to Carrie Lake, who had run for governor just a couple of years before, saying these words, name your price to stay out of politics for 2 years. there are some very powerful people who want to keep you out. You get him before a grand jury immediately. Who are the very powerful people who wanted to keep her out? Up to how much were you willing to pay her? Where was the money coming from? Who told you to do it? Who asked you to do it? Now, very likely he'll take the fifth. He'll take the fifth. If there's a civil litigation, that can be used against him. In a criminal charge, it cannot be used against him. That said, you have him on tape. It's his voice. You could charge him on that. You could charge him for trying to bribe somebody to stay out of a race. That's a felony. And that he's referring to some very powerful people who will put him up to it. That's got to get around. That's got to be in some ads down there. That may have to be in some ads that some Biden backers put on there for Ruben Gallego. Or those backers have to do it for Ruben Gallego. This is disgusting, tawdry stuff. This is America. And in Wisconsin, if you had a tape recording of somebody of a party chair in either party who is talking to a candidate saying, a lot of powerful people want you out, get lost, what'll it take? How much money do you want? They'd be indicted in this state. They should be indicted in this state. Sadly, we do have in the fake electors a state chairman in this state chairman who was a fake elector, another state chairman, the subject of telephone calls. Nothing apparently is happening about it. Be a laid down prosecution. In my view, it's happening in Michigan. It's happening in Georgia. It's happening in Washington, D.C. But okay. But this is okay. In Arizona, Arizona is a tough state. Didn't become a state till 1912. I have a picture of my grandpa, who I never met. He died before I was born. Traveled down there before it was a state. I think in 1908 or something. It's a big deal. Very right wing, historically. That Barry Goldwater prowled around there. He was the guy that ran for president against Lyndon Johnson in 1964. But enough's enough. And this has got to be followed up on. There are honest U.S. attorneys down there. This thing has got to go to a grand jury. You cannot have a party chairman say to a candidate, a prominent one, because she had run before, a lot of powerful people want you to get lost. What'll it take, for Pete's sake? How much money do you want? You know, what is she going to say? $100 million? You're not going to get that. They do it for a million, 5 million, maybe. This is very, very tawdry. This is very, very tawdry. Something's got to be done about it. Something has absolutely got to be done about it. Absolutely got to be done about it. Let's have some good news. Good news. You may have heard before. The Bucks just hired Doc Rivers, Marquette star, former NBA player, great player. The Boston Celtics led him to a championship. Fortunately, they fired Adrian Griffin. Adrian Griffin had run up a, 30-13. I mean, that's a pretty good, I mean, I looked at that and I thought, God almighty, that's a very high winning percentage. But the problem is they want a championship. We should get another championship. They have Giannis Antetokounmpo, Damian Lillard. Should have a championship. Apparently there were concerns Adrian Griffin about how strong he was on coaching defense and stressing it. You know what I think happened? Players play an awful lot of role in this thing. And it may be that some of the players went to management and said, look, he's a great guy. I like the guy. Yeah, we've done well so far, but if we're going to bring a championship home and get through the playoffs, remember they get bumped out, you know, a couple of years ago, right at the beginning. We need something different. We need a stronger coach. And I may be wrong on that. I haven't heard that from anybody, but I was a seasoned Bucks ticket holder. I got a Bucks games for 40 years, more than 40 years. Back in the 80s, I had a full season package myself. That's 41 home games. I had to give a lot of them away to people in my firm and to relatives and friends. But I've had 10 packs and 5 packs, and I've gone to a lot of games. I really enjoy it. In the middle of the winter, go to a Bucks game. It's cold out, dark at 4:30, but it's warm, light, great basketball, great food. So there you have it, Doc Rivers. Very, very glad to see Doc. Doc's going to be back in Milwaukee. Doc is going to do the job. But I'll tell you what, I get back to the sneaky stuff like we had in Arizona just now, trying to bribe Carrie Lake, and I don't know if she did name a price. I don't know. I haven't heard the tape myself. But something's got to be done on that. Something has absolutely got to be done on that. And on the good side, let me have another piece of positive news. Joe Biden's coming to Superior, Wisconsin tomorrow. Superior, Wisconsin. And thanks to Joe Biden, thanks to the Infrastructure Act, thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act, thanks to hard infrastructure, soft infrastructure, the whole thing. There's a $1 billion bridge being built between the port in Superior and Duluth. Joe Biden's going to be up there for it. One of the things that really frosts me is a Republican congressman in Minnesota is exulting over it. He's going, this is great. I brought this here. This is great. There's only one problem. He voted against it. I'm not kidding. He voted against it. Guy's taking credit for it. He's strutting around. Why don't you buy a tuxedo? Get a top hat and a cane. March down the street. You idiot. But they get away with this stuff. And you wonder what these constituents up there are going, hey, wait a minute. I thought you voted against it. Maybe I was wrong. You'd say, I forget. This crazy stuff in the Republican Party's got to stop. But Biden is going to be there tomorrow. Janet Yellen's coming in, I think, on Friday. Kamala Harris was here. It's all good stuff. It's all very, very positive, very good stuff. Paying a lot of attention to Wisconsin right now. Coming up, Alina Habba, Trump's lawyer, said she thought she had COVID. What was she doing in New Hampshire last night? Coming up.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. You may remember the other day, the Letitia James trial. It wasn't the Letitia James trial. This one was the E. Jean Carroll trial. So damn many trials, you got to mix them up. But the E. Jean Carroll trial, it's in federal court. Judge Alina Habba, Trump's lawyer, goes, would you suspend the trial for tomorrow because he's going to be in New Hampshire? He goes, judge goes, no, I won't. She goes, well, I think I might have COVID and I don't feel good. And my babysitter doesn't feel good. He said, did you take a COVID test? She said, yeah, I did. It was negative, but I don't feel good. So, okay, I'll suspend it for a day. She thought she had COVID. That night, she was on TV last night. She was in New Hampshire yucking it up at Trump's victory party. Now, let me tell you something, and then I'll go to the lines. I see you guys on the lines. Do not hang up. I'll take you in order. You know, you have a duty of candor to a judge. She was smart enough not to lie. If she said she'd been positive for a COVID test and wasn't, that's a felony. So she goes, no, I was negative, but, you know, I'm not feeling well. Judges don't like that. I don't like that. The sneakiness of Trump's lawyers, they will pull that in Mar-a-Lago. They'll pull it in Washington. They'll pull it in Atlanta. Be very, very careful. Be observant of this. And at some point, the judges are going to have to say, look, you have a legal team. You get out of here and the other one can try it. And at some point, if they all lie and say that they're sick, then he has a choice to make. One is you better go out and get somebody quick tonight. Get the yellow pages. This is very sneaky, what's going on. We're going to go it in line Wisco Paul, my friend, your first wasn't right at Wisco Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. I'm Doc Rivers, coach of the Bucks. That's good news, at least I think it is. A couple of quick things on your topics in the past here. I have one word for Trump, and the word is garbage, and Nikki Haley should not drop out. But that's just my opinion. But you know what makes a successful politician is Governor Tony Evers. He loves the state of Wisconsin. He truly loves this state. And he always tries to do what's right. And that makes him a great politician and an excellent governor. But I just like to commend him for the saving the land up by where I used to hunt, Crandon, Wisconsin. The name of the place escapes me at the time, but he announced it at his State of the State address. And also bringing up the topic about forever chemicals in the water. And you know, he always does. I just can't say enough good things about Tony because he always does what's right for the state. And when you love the state and you do what you feel is right, then you're a good politician. And again, I'd like to thank him for taking care of the land up north. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Well, it helps too when you have people running against you like Michaels, who at the end said, well, if I'm elected, a Republican will never lose in the state again. That didn't go real well. Going back to the lines, Bob of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Bob, what's in your mind today?
Well, you're a Navy vet. I'm wondering if it's really true that you join the Navy, you see the world. Can you confirm that you see the world when you join the Navy?
Yeah, I hope you're thinking of, I don't know how old you are, but I hope you're thinking of it, and certainly encourage your nieces and nephews to do it. I think I did see the world. I mean, I saw some of it. I was on a ship, homeported in Little Creek, Virginia. It's an amphibious base. My ship was not, it's right next to Norfolk. My ship was not an amphibious ship. It was a diving ship, a salvage ship, not combat. It wasn't Navy SEALs. It was salvage divers. And we steamed independently of the fleet, and we went around, took our orders whenever a plane, any plane, but especially a military plane, went down or a boat or some gear. We'd go over there and anchor around it and send our divers down and pick it up. So I spent 3 years, a little under 3 years, out of the with the second fleet. The fleets are numbered based on their location. So the ships that are stationed along the east coast of the United States are called the Second Fleet. The ships that then go to the Mediterranean, they become the Sixth Fleet. And our home port back then was in Naples, Italy. In the west coast, they're even numbers. So the ships along the west coast are the Third Fleet. And out in the Pacific, especially during Vietnam, it was the Seventh Fleet. Now there's a Fifth Fleet, and this fleet, and that fleet. You know, one headquartered in Bahrain that operates in the Red Sea in that area. But so we did a med cruise, went to into the Mediterranean. And if you go through the Straits of Gibraltar, it's unbelievable. You can see Spain and Africa. It's a very, very narrow passage, relatively speaking. And you're going through and you think of all the history that went through there. You think of the Phoenicians, you think of the Greeks. You think of people that then went and settled in Ireland and England and Scotland. They all came that way. And obviously many, many years ago. And then we went to Rota, Spain. Rota, Spain is a port that the Spanish let us use. I assume they still do. We went around and we went to France. We went to Toulon. Spent a lot of time in Italy, a lot of time in Naples and Venice. We went down the Adriatic. We went around in Greece. We were in Piraeus, which is the port for Athens. Then we were ordered to go to Izmir, Turkey. And as we approached, there was a terrorist incident. And this is in 1970, believe it or not. No, 71. This is early 71. Some bad guys kidnapped one of our airmen, somebody from the Air Force. And they had to send teams in to get him back. And all Navy ships are ordered not to not to dock in Turkey. So we didn't get to go there. Went to Malta. I found out afterwards I was talking at an event in Washington for Hillary Clinton and a fundraiser. And a former ambassador to Malta, our ambassador to Malta, said, well, how'd you get in? And he said, they threw us out. And I told him when I was there, he said, well, you were there about a year before they threw us out. He said, they were trying to play both ends against the middle. It's an island in the middle of the Mediterranean, sort of not too far from Sicily. And the people look somewhat Arabic. I don't think ethnically they totally are. But they're very, very strong people. They had to, you know, fight everybody, the Phoenicians, everybody else forever. They're just an exposed island out there. It's a great, went to Valletta, Malta. They have an island called Gozo off it. Then we came back up into Naples and then eventually came back to the United States, did a Caribbean tour for a couple of months, you know, put into St. Thomas, St. Croix, Puerto Rico. It was a terrific thing. I would recommend everybody out there, any kid, high school, college, getting out who, you know, you want to do something a little different, join our military, any branch, Navy, Army, Marine, Air Force, Coast Guard, Merchant Marine, you will see the world. And you definitely will see the world. And I thought it was a wonderful thing to do. And the first reason you do it is patriotism, because you want to stick up for your country. Coming up, a lot of news. A lot of weather. And it turns out that James Comer is distrusted and being attacked by the Freedom Caucus itself. He's the guy leading the impeachment inquiry of Biden. Coming up. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I said earlier in the show about these polls in the Midwest, but I want to emphasize something about them. Poll came out in Pennsylvania showing Biden ahead of Trump. Governor Walz of Minnesota said he's seen polls. Biden's ahead of Trump in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. That's the blue wall. Blue wall in the Midwest, that's going to be the ball game in the presidential race. And I think it's only going to get better. And I want to say a couple of things. On this show and on a lot of shows, when you're on the more liberal or moderate side of things, it's a real temptation, and Trump gives you an awful lot of leeway to do it, to say things that are critical of him. And what he's done is, frankly, he's gotten him charged with 91 felonies. And everything that's said about him that on this show is true. But that said, that in a sense shortchanges Biden. I don't think we talk enough about the positive of Biden. You know, like Wisco Paul has done that on occasion. Wisco Paul just came in and spoke about the positive things about Tony Evers. And so I want to say something in that spirit about Joe Biden. Everybody is taking something for granted. When they criticize Biden, they criticize the United States and all this. I have no patience for that. I have no patience for that. Everybody in the world is trying to get into the United States. Nobody from the United States is trying to get in anywhere else. The greatest country in the world, the greatest values, constitution, greatest economy, greatest military. And we are the best country in the world. The people that come to this country and criticize us, I don't think we should have let him in the first place. But I'm going to go beyond that. Let's take a look at Joe Biden. You think it's, you can take for granted that you have a great president who's honest, who has the good of the United States at heart? We didn't have that. We did not have that when Donald Trump was president. And we wouldn't have it when we have him again, if we have him again, and we're not going to have him again. Let me split it between domestic and foreign policy. Domestic. Just came out the other day, December jobs report. Wisconsin, right now, our unemployment is about 3.3%. The lowest it's been in a long, long time. There are more than 1 or 2 million jobs in Wisconsin out of a population of what, 5.5 million, something like that. And that includes kids. The truth is, gas is coming down. Inflation is coming down. Wages are exceeding inflation consistently. We talked about a soft landing. We already landed. And it was very soft. Joe Biden did the job. Joe Biden did the job. He passed the Infrastructure Act. He passed hard infrastructure, soft infrastructure, Inflation Reduction Act, the CHIPS Act, through a hostile Congress that had the possibility of unanimous consent blocking him, filibuster blocking him, right-wing MAGA clowns in the House vacating the chair, what, 3 times? They hate each other. Right now, the Ethics Committee is going to hang Matt Gaetz. It looks like it will. They're going at it pretty hard. No one likes the guy, and yet he's allowed to, what, throw out the speaker? They don't do anything. They don't promote generals and admirals for 10 months. They still won't confirm essential defense and NSA people who are needed to interface with our flag officers. They keep doing that, and Joe Biden rises above that. He's a very decent guy. He's a very funny guy. He's a very honest guy. But let's talk about foreign policy. Let's talk about foreign policy. Foreign policy. He restored NATO, standing up for Ukraine and arming them, keeping the Russians at bay. Standing by Israel when they were subject to that genocidal, sadistic attack by Hamas. Putting together a mini NATO in the Pacific, standing by Taiwan. We're very lucky to have him. Very lucky to have him. These polls, they'll ebb and flow, but people are not lightly going to throw over a wise and decent man with a lot of experience for a criminal and a Russian agent. They're not liable to do it. Going to the lines, Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
Thanks for the opportunity, Matt. I did want to compliment you for bringing up the Blatnik Bridge up in between Superior and Minnesota, and that Stauber, the ever so hypocritical Republican who was extolling the $1 billion infrastructure project and how he thought it was the greatest thing ever, but neglected to mention that he voted against the bill. So I bring this, you know, you had said that Biden is a good guy and keeps working to try to make things happen. I would like to return, play off of that and return to comments that one of your other listeners had made in reference to Evers in the State of the State address and the Pelican River forestry program that he had put together. And I think this really needs some attention. It is an amazing project that had been stalled out by the Republicans. Basically, it's over 55,000 acres, the largest land conservation project in our state's history, and it protects Class A trout streams. It protects something I don't know how many 58 miles of rivers and streams, 20 plus thousand acres of wetlands, all sorts of really important things. But more importantly, it's going to provide jobs. And what happened with this was there was one township that was unhappy with the conservation easements that are part of this process and felt that they would be that it wouldn't be a good idea. So what the Republicans did was just kill the whole project, just absolutely kill this large project that had been rolling along to be this wonderful thing. Instead of doing the work to try to figure out, okay, how can we meet their concerns and still go forward and still try to make the project happen? So guess what? It was up to Evers, and he made it happen. So the list of people that he worked with, I find to be just amazing in terms of the people that he was going to be able to get to work on this. I'm just going to just give you a few little names here. I was just so amazed at this. It included in the federal side, it was the National Forest Legacy Programs, Richard King Mellon Foundation. You know, they have a lot of money, the Conservation Fund, a national group, Fish and Wildlife. And also, interestingly to me, Walmart's Acres for America program. So there, he went he went the distance to try to make this work, to get this funded, because the Republicans laid down in the road and wouldn't release any funds from the Nelson Stewardship Fund. So they went to the federal side and the private sector and got the funds to be able to purchase this land. They're going to have conservation easements on it. And interestingly, people are talking about how this ties it up and you can never develop it, which isn't true. Conservation easements are written so that you can meet the needs of what that particular conservation project is. And in this case, they went and they noted the fact that there was one township in this area that was objecting to it. They met with them at the township of Monaco. They met with them. They came up with solutions that would mollify them and make them happy. And all the other townships in the footprint of this conservation project were all for this, because they, in their long-term plans for their townships, said that they wanted to have conservation area, and they wanted to have, more importantly, this industrial forest land saved. And when I say industrial, I don't mean clear cut. I mean land, forest land that's going to continue to provide a steady supply of jobs for lumberjacks in that area through sustainable harvest, where they harvest on a sustainable model. 10 years later, they come in and they're harvesting trees from the same area, and you'd never know it because it's well done and it meets the other needs for conservation. This project is going to be, it's a godsend. It's going to be saving a large chunk of land, which will be saving wildlife, and it doesn't cut it off, Matt. This is, they're saying people have access for sports like snowmobiling and ATVs and hiking and fishing, and it's just going to be a godsend for this community in terms of saving the land for conservation purposes, for forestry, and for recreation. And I would close by saying, in our North Woods, I don't think people realize the drooling that's going on among the rich to buy themselves what are called kingdom lots. That means a guy from New York, hedge fund owner, flies in, decides to buy 10,000 acres up in the northern forest where the really good lakes are, buys it, fences it in. It's his. Nobody can get in there. You can't hunt there. You can't trap there. You can't do any of the things that you'll be able to do in this area. And this Pelican area, it's got easements on it, so it's still private property. So there's still going to be that property will still be on the tax rolls, which will also be a boon to the local community. So it's win-win-win from what I can see. And boy, what makes the North the most wonderful thing ever is the chance to go out into the woods. And this is incredible. This is a real boon for this area. And this is due to the fancy footwork of Mr. Evers, who had absolutely no support from any of his Republican colleagues. So my two cents. Thanks a lot, Matt.
That is a terrific call, Joe. As always, you have impeccable research and laid it out so well. And I echo what you said. And, you know, the Knowles Nelson Fund, named after Warren Knowles and Gaylord Nelson. Warren Knowles was a Republican governor, but he was a conservationist. Gaylord Nelson was a senator, but before that, he was the governor. And the two of them, they knew each other. They were friends. And when this fund was set up, it had bipartisan support. The Republicans have tried to stick a knife in the Knowles Nelson Fund ever since Scott Walker became governor. Scott Walker changed the Republican Party in the state the way Donald Trump has changed the National Republican Party, quite frankly. And so they object to exactly the kinds of things you're talking about a win-win where there's plenty of private use of it through easement, but an easement is a lot different from a fee interest title. And it reminds me a little bit in New York City, if you ever go there, the Central Park, it's a gorgeous park. And by the way, Frederick Law Olmsted, who designed the Central Park in New York, also designed Lake Park right here in Milwaukee and Washington Park in Milwaukee. So if you want a taste of his work, he was a real genius. Come to Milwaukee and walk through Lake Park and Washington Park. But in any event, there have been real estate moguls who have tried to buy chunks of Central Park, and if they had had their way, there would be no park in Manhattan. It would be simply condos. But everybody out there banded together, and it's sacred land, basically. Well, we are spoiled in the state by having we've been blessed with so many natural resources. the Republicans are succumbing. Remember, they're a gerrymandered party. They're ruby red. The only way they stay in office without being primaried is to kowtow and suck up to the farthest right people, Trump and this one and that one. And they have refused to permit expenditures from the Nelson Knowles Fund. And up until not too long ago, and it may still be the case, they could hold it up with an anonymous objection in the committee from a Republican. And you say to them, who was it? They say, I'm not going to tell you. What were their reasons? I'm not going to tell you. That's, remember that. That is exactly what happened. So, yeah, my hat's off to Tony on this one, putting that together. But it's kind of sad that it has to be done with private money and you have to get around the Republicans. And that's one reason why getting rid of the gerrymander is so important. It's not the only reason. It may not be the most prominent reason, but it's extremely important. The second thing, remember this, we have now forever chemicals in virtually all the water in the state. Because Dentist Fred, if you remember Dentist Fred, was kept on for 18 months by the Republicans, even after Evers had won the election and put somebody else up there and kept voting to permit forever chemicals to get in. So at one time, pre-Walker, the Republican Party was a conservationist party. There was bipartisan commitment to conservation. Everybody wanted clean water and air. Everybody wanted to be able to hunt and fish and in a pristine environment. That disappeared with Scott Walker. That disappeared with Scott Walker. He got rid of wetlands protection. He got rid of a lot of things. And the Republicans went along with it. So, Joe, that was a terrific, terrific set of research on your part. Thank you so much. Okay, we're stepping away for a little bit. Coming up, the impeachment against Joe Biden is fizzling. James Comer is now in the sights of the Freedom Caucus. They're against him now. Coming up. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. James Comer is the chairman of the Oversight Committee out of Kentucky, and he was the one, along with Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan, who's been charged by the Republicans to rough up Joe Biden, to impeach him. These are on orders from Donald Trump. This has all previously been discussed. And Donald Trump's point is, look, I was impeached twice, and it was unfair. Of course, he was impeached for interfering with Ukraine, trying to falsely and fraudulently get them to say they were launching an investigation against Biden, even though they weren't, and for inciting an insurrection. So put that aside for a moment. But he said, we can't go into an election, and only one of us has been impeached. You got to impeach the guy. Well, there's no reason to impeach Joe Biden. So they started an investigation. They did not have a vote from the Congress, a majority vote. And the law on that is if you don't have a majority vote in the Congress, then your subpoenas are no good. So Joe Biden was subpoenaed, or his people for documents were subpoenaed, and they're going to subpoena Hunter Biden and this, that, and the other thing. Well, Joe Biden said, I've done nothing wrong. You're not going to do a setup like this. So then they put through a vote to launch an impeachment investigation. They're very careful not to say they're impeaching him because they have no basis for doing it. And they wouldn't have enough congressmen. But to at least do it, they got unanimous support in their caucus. That includes, by the way, all six Republicans in the state. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Support Democrats against the six Republicans in the state. They voted to launch an impeachment investigation against Joe Biden because Donald Trump told them to, and they were afraid not to. In any event, one of the things they've done is to impeach, and I shouldn't say impeach, investigate Hunter Biden. And Hunter Biden, and this is linked to the other thing, Hunter Biden initially said, I'll testify, but I want it to be in public because you'll lie about it. So they went back and forth, and now he's testifying in private. But here's what happened. James Comer is a liar. He's the guy who they take a deposition, and then he publicly talks about it before the transcript is released. The reason why Hunter Biden wanted it done simultaneously in public is for this reason. So one of Hunter Biden's business associates was deposed. They asked him, did Joe Biden have anything to do with that business? No. Did he ever talk to you or was he involved in any meetings about the business? No. Did he get any money from it? No. That was the gist of the deposition. Comer goes on TV and said he implicated Joe Biden. He gave us a basis to impeach Joe Biden. Then a long time later, they released the transcript, and that's proven to be a lie. Always remember something. Whoever gets to spin it first, half the people never hear about the correction. Ever. 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 So, for instance, when Crooked William Barr lied about the Comey investigation, the Miller investigation, then it turned out that Miller didn't say what Crooked William Barr said. He said half the people didn't know that. If you control the information, trying to correct the lie afterwards when the transcript comes out is not sufficient. So the Republicans, however, realize that they're getting some very, very bad press about what Comer's doing. And also, it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. It's less than 10 months to the election. And Comer's clueless. The investigation is being described in the Republican caucus as a disaster with no conclusion, no smoking gun. They all say privately to their favorite media pet that they've lost trust in Comer. Now, remember something. The Republican Party is fighting within itself in the caucus. This is a corrupt investigation on impeachment. It's a crooked investigation on impeachment. It's based on getting the majority of the House, which is the thin Republican majority by a couple of votes, to authorize an investigation so that people can be subpoenaed and come in private, star chamber secret, and then Comer lies about what was said. And then weeks later or months later, when the transcript comes out, people have lost interest. They don't hear about it. And they don't realize that what he said was false. That is what's happening. At the same time, they have no evidence from any of these things supports any kind of impeachment whatsoever. What the Republicans are very, very concerned about and worried about is that they put a lot of eggs in this basket. They shut their mouth off. They go, we're going to impeach Joe Biden, so it's a horse apiece. You know, Trump was impeached, so this guy's impeached. Well, no, it isn't going to work out that way. Marjorie Taylor Greene was expelled from the Freedom Caucus for attacking some of the other folks. She's attacked Bob Good. It is a mess in the Republican caucus. They do not know how to govern. They do not know what they're doing. Go for a final call to Tyler Billy of Madison. Thanks for calling, Tyler Billy. What's in your mind today?
Matt, I'm shocked. All this time, I thought Hunter Biden was the president. Like, do you mean to tell me it's not Hunter Biden who's the president? It's Joe Biden? I'm flabbergasted.
You should write for The Onion. You should write for The Onion. Right. Well, what do you think about all this?
Oh, it's insane, of course. Just a bunch of misdirection. As I called the other day and said, you know, what's so bad about Kamala Harris? What's so bad about Hillary Clinton? What's so bad about Joe Biden? There's nothing. They just make stuff up and throw it against the wall.
Well, you know, that's exactly what they're doing, but they're taking orders from Trump. And Trump is very worried because he knows he's going to lose, and he's sort of micromanaging this, and he just tells her what to do. He goes, okay, impeach him. Then he's been impeached. I've been impeached. This thing is a crooked deal. It's a crooked party. It's been taken over by crooked people. There's some very good people in the party. Obviously, you have Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and the others, but there are some people out there who are a threat to the United States. Coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers as always. Love my callers. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Joe Biden will be in Wisconsin tomorrow. Signing off for today.